Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' overtime loss in Arizona, 18-15 to the Cardinals. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, this game against the Arizona Cardinals came down to really 8 yards from victory for the 49ers. I mean, it was a field goal fest, but the 49ers, if they had converted there in overtime a touchdown instead of getting a field goal in that situation, they would have won the game. They don't. The Cardinals go down the field. They score the touchdown. They win it in overtime. Another excruciating loss, really, for the 49ers. I mean, their players are talking about how painful these losses are, and now they're 0-4.
Yeah, I mean, painful is right, because, I mean, they played, you know, they're playing hard. I think they're into it, just you know, watching and but it's this, they're just not making plays. I mean, at the end of the day, I probably can think of 4 or 5 plays, both offensively and defensively, that you have to make to win games.
Oh yeah.
And I guess
yeah.
in this case it wasn't just the Niners, it was Arizona as well.
Yeah.
Arizona made one play.
Right, when they needed to. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of plays you can point to. I mean, especially when you looked at the play there on third and goal in overtime for Hoyer, and you have a chance to win the game with a touchdown, and Robinson's covered. There are two defenders right there, and Hoyer just throws it away. I just thought, wouldn't you take a little more time, try to make a play? I mean, even if you take a sack, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's going to be an easy field goal, but he just threw it away. That's my guy. He's not open. Forget it. I'm throwing it away.
Just move around a little bit more. Didn't have a whole lot of pressure at that, if I remember correctly, on that throw. Try and run it in, or
yeah.
I mean, they had gone all the way down the field, basically used up the whole 10 minutes. They used 7.5 of the 10. I agree with you. You can't necessarily make a play with a throw. I mean, you can, but you're as a quarterback, you're better off at that point trying to make a play with your legs.
Once he's not open, right? Your initial
once he's not open. Yeah. Because it's the receiver's job to then make a play once he catches the ball.
And that's the problem. I mean,
does that make sense?
It makes sense, because they're not in sync with each other. The receivers and Hoyer,
they're
because,
not.
You know, people can blame Hoyer all they want. He has not played well, no doubt. But these receivers are not in sync. They're dropping passes. They're going the wrong direction. I mean, it's just frustrating to be 4 weeks into the season and still see that.
Yeah, they're not in sync, I'm not exactly sure why. I for a little bit, I thought maybe in the beginning, I thought it was receivers kind of, we don't have big ones. They're getting manhandled. And then you know, where there's a few drops.
Oh, and then I thought, terrible,
well, then
yeah.
I, you know, then I kind of thought, well, you know, Hoyer's not, he's not getting them the ball. You know, his timing seemed a little off. You know, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, well, he's getting pressured. But it this weekend, I don't know, they had to throw the ball. I mean, look, probably, they must have thrown the ball 50 times. Yeah, 49. But there were bad throws, there were bad routes, there were drop balls, there was to your point, there's no timing. There's no rhythm to them. And
no.
I'm not exactly sure why.
Not to mention the fact that they just keep killing themselves with penalties. I mean, that first drive,
what was it?
The third 11, quarter.
12?
Let's see. The total in the game was 13 for 113 yards. But it's also the timing of them, Steve. I mean, you know, you look at that.
Yeah.
The first drive of the third quarter, that was a great drive. They looked like a team that could actually do some things. They had some good play action. You know, they're mixing it up. They had not only running with Hyde, but they had Breida running, some good passes. And then all of a sudden, pass interference on Trent Taylor instead of a touchdown. That was a touchdown to Breida, and they call it back, and then they have to settle for a field goal.
I mean, field goal.
Yeah.
Right.
And that,
right.
that was a weird call, too, because it looked like Taylor barely touched the guy. But,
well,
yeah, he did a little bit.
He did. He did touch him. I mean, he's got to learn that, you know, when you're going in there to set the pick, you've got to make that guy, you know, bubble over the top. You're not touching him, but you're just trying to – by you being there, you're trying to redirect him.
Right. It's not a screen, you know? Like, and in basketball. You're not.
No,
you're not,
it's not
screening
a screen.
Him.
You're just trying to redirect a guy.
Right.
And if you get it right, he still scores.
And it would have been perfect. You know? Yeah, touchdown.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Instead, that penalty, then a sack, and then a second and 30, and then a screen for 2 yards, and then a field goal. I mean, that just kind of summed it up for me, because that, you know, you would have won the game. You would have won the game if you had scored that touchdown. Instead, you settled for a field goal.
Right, right.
It's, you know,
game's over. Right there.
Sometimes it does. It comes down to one play like that. Although I have to say, I thought first half the 49ers were really lucky, because Andre Ellington, that was a touchdown. They reversed that. I don't know how.
I thought it was a touchdown also.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's a whole other topic about the way they make these calls. That you catch the ball. It's caught for a touchdown. No, he didn't control it all the way. It drives me crazy.
Same thing that happened in last night's game, in the Chiefs Skins game.
Oh, right.
You know, where that guy, I mean, I thought he had it too, you know, and then it kind of, he doesn't have it through the ground is what they were saying.
I just don't understand.
One of these in studio official guys was saying,
"What constitutes a catch now? It just seems impossible to make a catch anymore."
It does. It really does. Yeah.
I
would agree.
But one thing you could say, okay, on the positive side for the Niners in this loss is that, again, the defense played well. They sacked Carson Palmer 6 times. They held Arizona to 51 rushing yards. I mean, that's pretty good stuff. Again, I mean, that's 3 out of 4 games, I think, that the 49ers have played well defensively.
Defense played well. It was just a bad game. Offensively, a bad game, period. It wasn't just the Niners. I mean, you know, they both, I'm looking at stats right here in front of me, and I didn't look at them after the game, but I mean, amazing. They both ran 79 plays, you know, 305 yards and 368 yards. Total drives were almost the same. Both teams third down, 5 for 19 and 5 for 16. I mean,
not good. Yeah,
that's just bad. That's just bad. That's bad offensive football. It was, and it, like I said, it wasn't just the Niners. It was just a bad game offensively for both teams.
Not what you normally see in today's NFL, that's for sure.
No. I mean, nine field goals.
Field goals. I know. Former Niners kicker Dawson, Phil Dawson, and Robbie Gold both.
And Robbie Gold, with a field goal battle.
They were perfect. You know, it's funny because Ray Armstrong, I thought, had a big game. He had a team high 10 tackles. He had a sack and an interception in the end zone. And that's the guy who you wondered about. I mean, when Reuben Foster went down with an injury, how are they going to fill that spot? He's done a really nice job.
He's played well. And I thought that, even at the beginning of the season, I thought there would be a good spot for him. You know, I mean, he seems to be a guy that can get after the ball and make things happen. And he has been.
Yeah.
You know, he runs well out there. He's played well. Yeah, he's played really well. Shooty, had a sack, right?
He had a sack. He stops the run really well, it seems like, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not a... I mean, I would say he's a small, you know, whip linebacker, big, strong safety.
Yeah, I just...
You know, type of guy.
Yeah, so he has versatility.
Yeah, and you know, somebody that can cover a back out of the backfield and, you know, in a nickel or dime package. And that's kind of the type of, you know, player body type that he reminds me of.
And then you have DeForest Buckner. He had a big sack on that swim move. That was good.
I mean, defense is good. Defense needs to, they're playing really well. They need to make a play. They had couple interception opportunities, and they've got to make them. That's going to help win a ball game.
Yeah, well, Rashard Robinson's a little suspect. I mean, he was beaten on that one play for a pass interference, and he's kind of shaky, it seems like to me.
Yeah, but I would agree. But I think he's I don't want to use the word shaky. I think he's gets beat because I think he's aggressive.
So he has to catch up to the guy if he's aggressive, you know, in the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, he seems to be getting in people's faces, but he seems to be, you know, he seems to me to be a pretty good player out there.
Okay.
He's just getting, you know, he's getting beat when he's really aggressive.
Which you can't fault that. You know, that's true. Yeah.
No, you can't squash that.
That's true. What do you think of Solomon Thomas, the number three pick in the draft? He had his first sack. He seems like he's coming along. I mean, he's going to take some time for a rookie, right?
It is. He's a great young man. I know him personally. I knew him, you know, got to know him a little bit when he was here at Stanford with. He's good friends with Keller, Chris, and he's going to be really good. I think he's coming along fine. He's a consistent guy. I think he knows his assignments already. He's not going to run amok. He's going to do everything that he's supposed to, which in the beginning might hold him back a tad. You know what I mean? Making sure that he's correct on his assignments until he gets more comfortable, and then that motor will show. So he's gonna be really good, and I think the other guys are playing well, and they just have to figure out a way to figure out how to win games. And I think right now it's making one or two plays more a game. You know, it's that making that one big play. It doesn't matter who it is. Whether it's a catch, and think of a deep ball down the going from right to left on the television screen, you know, again, another deep ball right through the breadbasket.
Yeah, there was that one that was a slight tip by Bethel that Aldrick Robinson could have had for a a big gainer. It was third down and long.
That's the one.
Yeah, 6 minutes to go, fourth quarter. I wrote that one down. Yeah.
I don't know. On replay, I'm not sure it was tipped.
He just should have caught it, I guess, right?
You just got to make the catch. I mean, that's just that's one of those, you know, that's one of those plays. And there was a big interception somewhere that was one of the linebackers.
And he almost had another interception that, you know, he threw right into the hands of somebody.
Yeah,
and
I mean, we need to make those. Those are the difference, and those will win games.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for Tee Time Deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. When you get to this point in the season, Steve, and it's, you know, we're a quarter of the way through the season now, and the quarterback is not playing well, of course there are going to be the questions about, okay, do you switch to the other quarterback, C.J. Beathard? And Kyle Shanahan, I mean, he is definitely emphatic in saying no. I mean, that's not going to make the team better right now. I'll throw this out there. I mean, I wonder if the 49ers didn't make a mistake as far as Barkley. Now, I'm being a little biased because I'm a USC guy, and I like Matt Barkley, and, you know, he just didn't even make the team. But I wonder if he wouldn't have been a better choice. I mean, I don't think you go to Beathard. He's not really ready yet. But at this point, Hoyer really has not played well. I mean, a little bit of spark here and there, the Rams game. But overall, he just has not played well. He hasn't had much help, as we're talking about. But, you know, what do you do? I mean, you just got to keep going along with this?
I think mentality-wise for them and for Kyle talking to the team, you know, okay, the first quarter of the season's over. We lost the first quarter. We got to move on to the second quarter of the season and try and win it, you know, win two of the four games. Three of the four would be great. All four, obviously, is, you know, I don't know if that's attainable, but I think Brian probably still needs to be the guy for the next four games for sure. Now, if they go 4-4, then obviously he's played well and will continue to be a starter. If they go 0-4, I would think that Kyle's got to think about playing the young guy.
How hard is that? I mean, you know, you've seen it. How hard is it to bring that new
guy
in?
Then he's going to make some mistakes that Kyle wouldn't. I mean, that Hoyer wouldn't. But maybe, you know, maybe he makes some throws that Hoyer can't. You know, or maybe he takes some chances that Hoyer wouldn't, and they turn out to be positive.
Yeah, so we'll see.
You know, so it's hard. It's just no question hard. I mean, once you made that move, now you've said, okay, now we're playing for next year.
Right. So you're thinking maybe it's at least halfway through the year before you get to that point.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think so. Yeah. Okay. And if they're 0-8, definitely halfway. If they're, you know, if they're 3-5, probably doesn't happen. Hoyer probably stays in because, like I said, if they're 3-5, if they win three of the next four, even two of the next four, then I would say, you know, that the timing is getting better between the quarterback and the receivers. They're all individually playing better. So it probably doesn't change.
It's going to be tough to do because the next game's on the road at Indy. Then you're at Washington. You got Dallas at home, at Philly. Yeah. I mean, that's I see one winnable Indy, but that's on the
next
road.
Week.
Yeah, but it's on the road. So,
yeah.
And they're hungry for a win, I'm sure, the Colts, after the way they played the second half against Seattle.
They are.
So it's not going to be easy. You know, how do you, Steve, how do you practice against these penalties, especially in key spots? I mean, is that, how do you even work on it? Is that just one of those things that it's game time, it's during the game, you got to execute it, you can't really work on it in practice? I mean, how does that work?
That's mental? Coming down to, yeah, it's mental. That's coming down to just sheer discipline.
Yeah.
You know, pure discipline. Do you work on it in practice? Yeah, I think it comes with, you know, it comes with improving fundamentals and improving fundamentals is going to come out of practice.
Because that seems to be a
big... Does that make sense?
It does. It's just a big problem. It really... I mean, I could see them maybe winning that game against Arizona and maybe even another game, maybe one of the other two games that they lost that were close because the penalties were killer. I mean, you know, I mean, I hate to blame it on that, but it just seems like
there's too many times. There are a lot of them. There are a lot of them. Yeah.
So I mean, discipline, and I guess maybe like that's what I wondered. I don't know in a practice what goes on as far as practicing discipline, but
I think that discipline comes from, it comes from practice, and it comes from practicing. Getting better on your fundamentals.
Well, hopefully they get better on their fundamentals soon. Don't have those kind of problems.
Yeah, yeah.
To finish up, I wanted to talk, and hopefully we won't be talking about this anymore, really, the anthem situation, but the 49ers really were involved for the first time, because remember the previous weekend, they played on Thursday, and then everybody was doing the kneeling and the locking arms and all that on Sunday.
Right.
So then the 49ers, their protest was really choreographed. I mean, to the point where it almost, to me, Steve, it looked like a team photo that was, you know, they were posing
kind of did.
Right. So you have the shorter guys kneeling in front kind of thing. Only this time it was like, okay, these guys are going to kneel, these guys are going to stand, and you know, they almost tried too hard. I don't know, but what did you think about the stance that the 49ers took?
I wasn't crazy about it, that half of them were standing and half of them were kneeling, but it did look to me, as you were saying, that they at least had talked about it and decided as a team what they were going to do. So I guess I was okay with it. And I don't know why they can't all stand and, you know, if you want to lock arms, great, you know, or all stand at attention, whatever it is. But that's what they decided as a team. I think the whole, you know, what I think the whole issue is lost now. We're making a statement. What are we making a statement about? I'm not sure anybody really knows or remembers. You know, it seems to be more about the how are we going to do it? It's more about the show. You know, what are we going to show?
You know what it seems to be, no. Steve? It really seems like it's more of a statement against what the president said, and it's almost they're involving the flag and the anthem, but really it's more about what he said about everybody, and then everybody got upset. That seems to be what it is.
Yeah. No, I think it is now, yes. But I don't know. I think the original message is, I think the original message is lost. And it's, more against the president and, okay, we're going to show you, we're going to, do this.
Right.
We're going to Paul Neal and lock arms, or what happened to standing and respecting the flag and all the freedom that it stands for already, and all the good that it represents, and those who still fight for our freedom, and those who have paid the ultimate price fighting for the freedom.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing I thought about, Steve, is just that sports in general, and the reason that you want your kids to play sports, and I know of your son playing baseball, and he played football and everything. I think one of the main reasons you want that is because it teaches you unity. You know, you grow up, with other kids, and you of all different backgrounds, and the unity that is there, I think it's so important. And it's too bad that all of this stuff is coming about, because really, when I think of any sport, it's supposed to be a positive for unity.
It is definitely unity, and football is football is the ultimate unity. Homer Smith was our offensive coordinator at UCLA, brilliant man. He came in once into a offensive meeting, uh-huh. and he knew everything about all of us anyway. He knew where we were from, what our what our backgrounds were, what our religions were, blah blah blah. And he came in once and started our meeting by saying that there was a Jewish kid snapping to a Catholic who was handing off to an African American Christian kid who was and he went through every guy on the starting offense, basically didn't once call them by name, but knew the faith, the race, obviously the race, because but he went through the faith and the race and how it didn't matter what we were, that we all had to come together on this one play to make it work, on each and every play. But he started it out that way.
That's cool the way he put that, right?
Yeah.
It puts it in perspective.
I mean, it was amazing. I wish, it's one of those things that you wish you had on recorded so you could play it, in a time like now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like sports should be bringing us together, not dividing us.
Fighting us, exactly. Exactly.
Hopefully it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eventually.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to the 49ers maybe getting their first win next week.
I hope so.
This has been better. There's no doubt. This has been better than last year so far, even though they're 0-4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's just the whole the whole attitude is way better. I mean, just the vibe is much better, I think.
Now it's time to pull out a W, though.
Exactly.
Yep. Steve, thanks.
Yep. It's time.
Thanks a lot for your time again, and talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us next week to talk about the 49ers game in Indianapolis against the Colts. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.